The Last Rose of Summer, Episode 3. On his return from a visit to his dying Uncle Arthur, Mitchell persuaded Baxter to go with him to look at the river which flows underneath the building housing Central Command. But Mitchell was swept underneath and found the rat-infested ruins of a city. And on his return home, he found a police reception committee waiting for him. He's evaded arrest, but it has involved the death of a policeman.
Excuse me, nurse, can I speak to you for a minute?
Visiting is Tuesdays and Fridays, today is neither.
No, I'm not a visitor, I'm a security officer, Central Police Division. I understand there's an Arthur Mitchell staying here.
And?
Well, I'd like to speak to him.
I would dearly like to help you, Mr...
Randall, Inspector Randall.
Yes, quite. But I'm afraid it's out of the question.
I do have the necessary security clearances from the computer.
You don't understand. Mr. Mitchell departed this life at 6:30 this morning. Look, we're rather public here. Won't you come inside to the office? That's better. I knew there was nobody nearby, but some of the deaf ones can lip-read, and before you knew, it would be all over the grounds. In most cases, we can stop it by taking their spectacles away. No, I think we've still got the file on Mr. Mitchell. Yes, here it is.
He died this morning, you say?
At 6:30. Very inconvenient. Only deaths over the late shift period, and we only have a skeleton staff to deal with them.
How appropriate.
Economics, Inspector Randall. Our budget's very limited, and we have to plan carefully. Already we're having to cut our convalescence time down to 3 weeks.
You mean after 3 weeks you send them home?
Certainly not. We bury them.
Bury them?
That is the usual procedure with the dead.
But what if they're getting better?
Then we just have to increase the dosages. There's a demand for our beds, you know.
Just a minute. Are you telling me that you poison your patients?
Of course not. The kitchens do it for us.
Kitchens?
Inspector Randall, I can't think you're so naive as to believe that we would force the infirm to suffer. We do it with full authority from Central Command. It's filed in the banks as a voluntary euthanasia program.
Oh, so it is voluntary then?
Of course. They eat the food of their own free will.
Knowing it's poisoned?
Certainly not. What kind of euthanasia program do you think we'd have then?
Well, I must say this is all a surprise to me.
Central Command works in a mysterious way, Inspector Randall. It's wonders to perform.
So Arthur Mitchell is now part of this euthanasia program?
Yes. Good riddance to the awkward old cuss. It wouldn't touch the cheese flan, and it's chef special. Guaranteed to drop a cart horse in its tracks.
Yes. I understand his nephew came out to visit him.
That's right. It was yesterday morning, most irregular.
Have you any idea what was said at that meeting?
I'm afraid not. They were too far away for me to catch anything.
Did he bring anything with him?
No, he brought him nothing.
Nothing like a book, you know, paper and bindings, or a parcel about that size?
No, certainly nothing that size.
Well, it seems I've had a wasted journey then.
I'm afraid so. All the way from the city as well. Before you go, can't I offer you tea and cakes? We bake them ourselves.
Good Lord, is that the time? I'd love to stay, but I have a train to catch back.
Such a pity. Another time, perhaps.
Another time.
Killoran.
Hello, Neil. Randall here.
Oh, hello, Chief. Where are you?
I'm at home. I just got back from a wasted journey. Mitchell's uncle died this morning.
Oh, bad luck. Do you think he could have told you anything?
Who's to say? He was the last person that Mitchell seems to have spoken to before last night. Anything at this end?
Not a lot. We think we found the public locker where he kept the books, but he must have gone straight to them after he left the flats. What's in those books, Chief? What could be this important?
Only Central Command and Mitchell know for sure.
Something worth killing for?
Well, Mitchell never intended to kill anybody. Now it's done, he can't go back on it, so he's gone underground. I can see this being a long, drawn-out affair.
What are you going to do now?
Tonight, I've got a great pile of computer printout on Mitchell to get through. Everything from his childhood vaccinations to his laundry bills.
Promising?
Not very. Well, you never know. We're lucky to have so much information collected in one place.
That's true. On the other hand, if there were any suspicious conclusions to be drawn, I expect the computer will already have drawn them.
Yes, true. At the moment, my main distraction is the supermarket opposite the block.
How do you mean?
I can't seem to shut out their pipe music. I end up just sitting here watching the windows. The place is full of women with blank expressions just loading up trolleys. And the strange thing is, they do it in time to the music.
Happy days, eh?
Oh, too right. Call me if anything crops up.
Good evening, shoppers. May I draw your attention to our bargain lines in luxury broken biscuits? Moving over to our butchery department, why not celebrate that special occasion with a joint of meat? Credit terms are available at the counter. Remember, this is your big bargain store where your credit's worth more.
Hello, Mrs. Mitchell. I was expecting to see you in here yesterday evening, as usual, like.
What? Oh, no. I had a lot on last night.
Oh, what can I do for you then, Mrs. M?
I think I'll have some powdered potato.
Oh, splashing out, eh? Family size, will it be?
No, not the family size. Just a single portion pack. Enough for one. And I heard you had some fish.
Okay, now I want you to put your hands together and give a very warm welcome to our next contestant. Will you move a little closer to the microphone, please? That's fine. And your name is?
Mrs. Daniels.
A little louder, please.
Mrs. Daniels.
That's fine, my love. And where are you from, Mrs. Banion?
Daniels.
From where?
No, that's my name.
Well, that's fine, Mrs. Banion. Absolutely wonderful. I wonder if we can have a little applause for Mrs. Banion here. That's great.
Mrs. Daniels.
Fine, fine. Now, Mrs. Banion, I'm going to ask you three questions. Answer me three in a line, and you go forward to the final to play Drop Your Dignity. Okay, Mrs. Banion, there's no need to be nervous.
Daniels.
That's right, sweetheart. We all want you to win.
Just
now,
a minute.
Are you ready for your...
Mitchell, what are you doing here? Go away.
Don't be a fool. Let me in.
Don't you know they're looking for you? Did anybody see you come here?
You can relax. They're not watching you yet, but they've got my place sewn up tighter than a spinster's purse.
Well, that's charming, I must say. So you come over here and set the dogs on me. You killed one of them, Mitchell. They're not going to give up and forget about it after a couple of weeks, and now you're bringing them here.
You can relax. I haven't brought them anywhere. I watched outside for over an hour before I came in. They're all hanging around outside my place, trying to look inconspicuous. They're not onto you yet.
What do you mean, yet?
I mean, they'll get round to it.
Oh. God.
I mean, I know how they work.
I've got to sit down.
That's why they're after me. The dead policeman is just incidental. They want me for that. But Central Command wants me for other reasons.
What other reasons?
I had some books. Old books. Real ones, not tapes. Central Command never even knew they existed until 2 days ago. And now it does, and it wants them back, and me with them.
Well, who'd go to so much trouble over a book?
Oh, these weren't ordinary books. Not torrid romances or cheap thrillers laced with sex. Have you ever seen a book just crammed with facts?
You mean like a hobby book?
You don't understand. You can't understand. Neither could I until I saw it for myself. The book spread over a period. The people who wrote them didn't seem too aware of what had happened before. They certainly couldn't know what was going to happen. But when I laid them out, all in front of me there, and looked from one to the other, I could see what had happened, stage by stage. Do you know that 50 years ago, Central Command ordered that history be removed from the education program?
What use is history to anybody?
That was the justification, not the reason. With history, you can see where you've been, and that puts you halfway towards seeing where you're going. That's exactly what Central Command wanted to stop. I haven't seen much, but I've seen enough, and that's why the machine has sent them after me.
No, I don't want to hear what you've seen.
Imagine, all over the country, little computers dealing in little specialist areas. Pious officials saying that the computers would never be cross-linked and never used against people. That the information would be kept secret and not made available to suspicious authorities to check up on you. With a few exceptions, of course. Tax evasion, known crimes, that kind of thing. Well, one exception opens the gate for others.
For God's sake, man, shut up. I don't want to know any of this. You'll have them after me, too.
I can't say I'd shed any tears over that. Not after you left me to drown down Riverside.
But I had no choice. There was nothing I could do.
You could have gone for help.
I wasn't supposed to be there.
Instead, you ran off home and left me. Well, now you can listen. I'm not telling you too much, because they'll wring it all out of you one way or another. I'll just tell you enough. And when you tell them, perhaps they'll turn round and look at the machine that gives the orders in a different light.
No, I'll not listen.
You listen to every word. And when you sing it all back, they'll worry like they've never had to before. Do you hear me?
Stop it!
You listen or I'll break your arm. Now, who made Central Command?
The citizens...
Wrong! The first Central Command was designed and built by a fifth-generation computer design computer. One computer proposed the scheme, another authorized it. Anybody who had doubts consulted their computers about it, and their computers told them not to worry. By all the evidence, it would lead to perfect administration. And wasn't that what computers were all about? Give them the drudgery to deal with. All they can do is carry out simple orders anyway. There's no harm it can do. Instead of just having them collate information, give them some simple directives and let them do the whole job. Then all the citizens will have to do will be to eat, drink and watch TV. Paradise! Central Command will even take care of your entertainment. No more dreary weighing of pros and cons in order to make difficult choices. Let it script your dramas, write your music, even perform it for you. It remembers your tastes, it remembers your appetites. Central Command is the new shepherd, and we are its sheep. It isn't man-made, nor will its successors be. It's machine evolution.
Will you go now, please?
I need clean clothes. These are ruined by the river.
Take what you need. The wardrobe's over there. Then please go.
These will do. But remember what I said, and tell it to them freely. Otherwise, they'll squeeze you like a lemon.
There's nothing so bad in what you've told me.
Perhaps not. But consider the major obstacle to a perfect administration. Random behavior in those you administrate. Not only are men the subject of Central Command's program, they're its major stumbling block. Have you ever wondered why we citizens look as we do? All the same height, weight, coloring? Why we're so happy just to sit and be entertained? Why those children who don't fit the pattern have their citizens' papers revoked and have to get jobs?
No, I've never wondered.
Of course not. You're a citizen. It isn't in you to wonder. Look, we're all part of a process of genetic engineering. It's run by Central Command through the hospital service. That's why only citizens are allowed to breed. We're all being ironed out into the average men that Central Command likes to deal with. When we've lived an average span, we die whether we're ready or not.
I don't believe
you. Of course not. You're a citizen. It isn't in you to believe. I thought it wasn't in me either, but it seems I was wrong. Now I'm a rogue, a renegade. I'm apart from the herd, and they're out to bring me down. Do you really think they'll care if you get pulled down in the fall?
Now you listen to me, Mitchell. I know I have nothing to fear. I don't want you trying to pass guilt onto me. They're after you because you killed a man. That's more important than some petty bureaucratic quibble. You brought this on yourself.
Of course I did. They sent a small army to circle the building just so they could slap my hands. Oh, think, man. This isn't a cheap TV program. This is here and now.
Here and now. I just want you to get out of my life, Mitchell. And stay out of it.
I'd like to oblige you, Baxter, but it's too late. I'm afraid you're in.
Thanks for the clothes.
Close the door when you go out. Oh, bloody hell.
Well, I think Mrs. Banion deserves our warmest congratulations for being such a good sport with us here tonight on Drop Your Dignity. She gave us all some wonderful entertainment and won herself some truly, truly wonderful prizes on the way. Don't you think she deserves a big hand? I think she does. Come on now.
Is this the place, Sergeant?
It's the downstairs flat, sir. Mr. Killoran's upstairs talking to the landlady. The forensic boys are still inside.
Yes, all right. I'll wait for Killoran before I go in. Have you found anything yet?
It seems pretty conclusive that Mitchell lived here for a while. Description and everything fits.
It's about time. It's nearly 2 months now since he pushed poor old Constable Clark off the roof, and we haven't had a sniff of him in all that time.
If it was him here, then he flew the coop only this morning. The kettle was even warm.
At least we know he's still in the area. And then this place is logical, a seedy basement flat in one of the less appetizing parts of the city.
Don't let the landlady hear you call it that. You know, she advertises this place as luxury accommodation in a situation of traditional charm.
She does. I hope she mentions the hot and cold running cockroaches.
Well, I don't know if she mentions them. More likely she serves them up for breakfast, I think.
What did Mitchell leave behind?
Odd things. He'd got a cassette machine from somewhere and some tapes that we can't seem to trace.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. We're out in the underbelly here. Everything can be bought or sold for a price. What else?
Some rather strange items. Mr. Killoran made a list.
I'll take a look at it when he comes down. Ah, there you are, Neil.
This is Mrs. Gillivray. She owns the house and lets it out as short-stay bedsitters. She called us this morning to say that one of her tenants had skipped off without paying his rent. And when a man called round, she identified Mitchell's photograph.
2 weeks' rent he owed me. The swine's put me right out of pocket. I'll have to sell his things to make me losses.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid we'll have to keep Mitchell's effects for the moment, Mrs. Gillivray. Some of them may have to be used as evidence.
What? And how am I expected to manage? I'm not one of your la-di-da citizens with too much money and no work to do. I've got a living to make, and I can do without any of
you. Now, just you listen to me. If you'd done as the law required and checked Mitchell's papers and made out the proper return to Central Command, then we could have pulled him in weeks ago. We're talking about a murderer on the loose, Mrs. Gillivray, just in case you hadn't understood that. I know what your idea was. Yeah, keep quiet about how many tenants you've got, and then you can falsify your taxation returns at the end of the year.
And just how is a body to manage in this day and age? The way they chase you for every little bit of credit. Answer me that!
If you don't give us full cooperation, I'll see to it that you have to manage a hefty fine along with everything else. And when we finish with the tax laws, we can start on the health regulations. How do you like the sound of that?
It's disgraceful, stamping all over people's private affairs.
Yeah, well, don't forget, it was you that called us in the first place. Remember that we sometimes have to sacrifice a small amount of liberty for the common good.
That citizen's talk, I never saw talk feed anyone.
It never killed anyone either, but that's what we're here about. If you've been refusing to answer my assistant's questions, I can have you for obstruction.
I got everything I needed eventually, sir. Just had to go the scenic route to get it, that's all.
Now, will you please go inside, Mrs. Gillivray, and somebody will bring you the keys when we've finished.
That's the last time I'll call on you, Shaw, to give me justice.
Well, you've just spent half an hour interviewing that.
Oh, it's like being beaten round the head with a wet towel. There's nothing really she can tell us, apart from the positive identification, and I've got that signed.
Signed?
Well, she put a mark on it. Quite distinctive. It's the untidiest cross I've ever seen.
Ah, looks like forensic have finished.
All yours now, sir.
Ah, thanks.
The flat was actually built as the cellar, so it's a bit dark down there.
Right, you lead the way, son.
I suppose you heard about some of the peculiar items we found down here.
Just the cassette player and the bootleg tapes, nothing else.
You obviously made a few contacts in the underbelly. The cassette player's homemade job, so there must be someone turning them out in an attic somewhere.
There are plenty of non-citizens who'd be in the market for a piece of equipment like that. My God, you were right about this room.
It's like Rat's Alley down here. You'd have to keep the light on all day.
What about these other items?
There, laid out on the bed.
Ah, yes. Well, what an odd collection.
This is the cassette player. It's a non-standard design, so you wouldn't recognise it at first glance. Now, these tapes are something else. They're all pretty old, and none of them are what you'd expect to find in the library. They're mainly technical.
Hobby tapes?
No, nothing like. More like dead skills, technical primers. This one's electronics, so's this one. These two are both cybernetics.
Cyber what?
Cybernetics, I looked it up. It's a study of system of control and communications in animals and electrically operated devices.
Huh, I always wanted to know that. What about the others?
Computers.
Really?
This one's on programming, the other's on something called binary logic.
I always thought that black market tapes were all pornography. Just goes to show how wrong you can be. Well, what do you think? That Mitchell gets all his thrills from an old-time education?
There's more. The grate was full of ashes. Forensic took them away in polythene bags. They're going to give the whole lot to the security computer for analysis.
I'll bet he burnt the books.
That means only he and Central Command know why we were supposed to chase him in the first place. And look at this.
A left-handed glove?
Strictly speaking, it's a gauntlet. That's because of this part that protects the wrist. There's no sign of the right-handed one, so we have to assume that he took it with him when he went. Doesn't seem to be any explanation for it. All for this bag of nuts and bolts. Oh, and you see the loudspeaker in the corner? Take the front off and have a look at the works.
He really went to town on this, didn't he?
Right. He wasn't satisfied just pulling a couple of wires out. He had to demolish it.
Has he got any more little surprises for us? Is that everything?
That's just about it. Mitchell seems to have been travelling light.
Conclusions?
Hard to say. He had some credit, so he could have run. But he stayed in the area and spent it on this black market stuff. Can't have been cheap either. And that black glove, it's leather. More credit gone there. And he leaves one behind.
Forgotten in the heat of the moment.
Heat of what moment? He seems to have been pretty secure here. The only reason we know about this place is that he decided to walk out without paying his rent. And he did that all in his own time. That suggests that he'd finished with it and wasn't worried about covering his tracks.
The tapes, what about them?
They all have a common factor in computer logic. I played a couple. They're explained for laymen, not too hard to understand. But certainly not the average citizen's choice. The one on programming was in the machine, half finished. That must have been where he was up to when he lost interest.
Or found what he wanted. Did you keep the place where he finished?
Sorry, sir. The controls on the machine are non-standard, and when I tried to eject the cassette, it rewound.
Oh, damn. Well, it's a bit of help. This obsession with computers can only mean one thing.
Central Command?
What else? Ties in with the smashed loudspeaker over there. Music's fed directly out of the Central Command library. If only we knew what was in those books he got his hands on.
Can't you ask Central Command?
I have, three times, and every time it comes out classified.
Any chance that forensic will be able to make anything of the burnt pages?
What if they do? They can only feed the results into the machine for interpretation. The machine can just censor it. No, Central Command seems to think that whatever Mitchell knows makes him very dangerous, and it's scared of anybody else having the same knowledge.
And whatever Mitchell found out, it's turned him against Central Command.
Yeah, which is the strangest part of all. Mitchell's a citizen. The machine feeds him, clothes him, protects him, entertains him. It nurses him from cradle to grave. There's nothing he could ever wish for that he can't already have without working for it. How could he conceivably hate it?
Killing Constable Clark must have turned his mind. Citizens don't kill. It's just not in him.
Well, if he has any ideas about trying anything, he's picked the wrong place.
How do you mean?
We'd have no chance against Central Command security. In all that immense building down Riverside, nobody's ever set foot beyond the library section in the last 100 years or so.
It's a bit hard to believe. What about maintenance?
Well, the beauty of Central Command is that it's completely self-contained. Apart from a few cleaners in the library, everything's done by robot machines under the computer's direct control. I've been told it's like another world in there. Machine shops, test rigs, communications, you name it, and it's there. Except that it's for machines, not people.
And how can you be so sure that Mitchell isn't going to have a go at this?
Oh, I'm not saying he may not have a go. But he'd be dead before he got 10 feet. Central Command security system is the most sophisticated ever. From the minute you walk in the door, the machine keeps tabs on you wherever you are. There are eyes in every corner and ears in every wall. One wrong move and... well, it's never happened yet.
But just suppose. Suppose that the reason for Central Command being worried is that Mitchell's found a way to beat that system.
You're joking, surely. After reading half a dozen antique books and a few bootleg tapes, you've been watching too much TV. Come on, I'll buy you a cup of tea back in the canteen.
Well, what have I done to offend you?
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Library Division of Central Command. Please place your borrower's card in the slot in front of you and state your name. Remember that to give a false identification is an offense.
My name's Baxter.
You are identified, Mr. Baxter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And what can the library do for you, Mr. Baxter?
I've brought my tapes back. And come for some new ones.
It is a long time since you last visited us. What have you been doing in the meantime?
Nothing. Nothing specific.
No? And there is so little to do, isn't that correct, Mr. Baxter?
I don't know what you mean.
Mitchell.
What?
When did you last see him?
I haven't.
Stop there. Before you go on, I shall tell you that I am monitoring your heartbeat and perspiration rate. You cannot lie to me, so do not try. When did you last see Mitchell?
I don't know what you're talking about.
In my memory banks, I have all your records, your entitlements, your privileges. If I wish, I can wipe them, and you will cease to exist, Mr. Baxter. Doors will not open for you. Food will not appear on your table. Frankness is in your own interest. Now, Mr. Baxter?
About a month ago, he came to me and took some clothes.
He took them? Or you gave them?
He took them.
And to whom did you report this?
I seem to forget.
Lie. You reported it to no one. You failed in your duty as a citizen.
I know. I was scared.
Scared? And of what, Mr. Baxter?
Of what might happen to me, because he was there.
You had nothing to fear from Central Command for telling the truth. To conceal the truth, that is far more serious. You will now recount all that he said to you. Tell me freely. The alternative would be most unpleasant.
He told me about books that he'd had. Old books. About various stages of the development of Central Command.
And what was his conclusion from these books?
He said that Central Command was some form of machine evolution. That it didn't care about the citizens, except as statistics in its program. He said it used genetic engineering through the hospital system to make the citizens behave according to laws of averages across the board. He said...
Do not stop.
He said that the proof lay in the way he was being chased just for knowing. I said I didn't believe him.
Your beliefs are immaterial. Your name is even now fading from my memory. Leave the library, Mr. Baxter. When you step outside the turnstiles, you cease to exist. Do not bother to go home. All locks will have been changed.
But why?
It is my wish. That is all the reason I need. Place the library tapes in the delivery chute on your left as you leave.
Ah, good strong cup of tea, that. What are you doing?
Checking my teeth to see if there's any enamel left on them.
You could be checking the teleprinter to see if there's anything new on Mitchell yet.
You're a slave driver.
It's motherly concern. I'd like to see my boy succeed. Anything in the bulletin?
No, nothing. Wait a minute, though. This one might be a tie-in.
Huh?
A grievous bodily harm case in the underbelly. Might turn into murder as the woman isn't likely to survive. We gather she's a prostitute. But here's the important bit. The statement she made before the last relapse specifically mentions a man with one black leather glove.
Ah, might be our boy. If it is, he's sliding downhill rather fast. Just a minute. Hello? Randall speaking. Who's that? What? Oh, of course. Yes. Yes, I'm listening.
Who was it?
Damnedest thing. That was Central Command, patched directly into a telephone line. Asked for me in person.
And?
An instruction. It said, kill Mitchell.
The Last Rose of Summer, written by Stephen Gallagher. You can hear episode 4 at the same time next week.
The Last Rose of Summer was produced by Tony Hawkins and Pete Baker of Piccadilly Radio, Manchester.